Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of sin.
We've had a lot of guests on the show from Sin's History, and we've got another one joining us all the way from the east coast of the US. This is Andrew Crook is joining us. I hope the tech holds up. You there, Crookie?
I am here.
Oh, fabulous. Well done, Jake.
Amazing. Thanks, Jake.
Crookie, tell us what your sin story is.
Well, it's a complex story. I remember walking past the studios one time, I think when I was probably about 19 or 20, and I think I must have been searching for something in my life at that point. I sort of craved agency and, control over my external surroundings and sort of was a bit maybe dissatisfied. And I saw these sort of self-confident young people broadcasting their views without fear or favour. And I was like, wow, okay, these youngsters know where it's at. And, it sort of just connected with me at that time. And then I ignored it, of course, for a couple of years and just went back to being a, boring undergrad. And then I think Jess Crouch at the time might have reached out to me and said, who, of course, Jess was a general manager and was on the board at one point. Jess was a general manager, wasn't she? I think she was. And
I don't remember. No, she was the president. She was the pres.
No, she was just the president, right.
She did a lot.
She reached out.
She did a lot.
Maybe not the president. She did a lot. And, I think she reached out to me and said, there's a board position coming up. And there was a very strange voting system that Sin had implemented around getting on the board. And I remember having to do kind of a quasi-political campaign and going into sort of bars and trying to talk to people and spruik my wares. And it got very close, actually. And I was up against another Sin veteran, Andrew Apostola, I remember. And I think I beat him by one vote.
Oh, wow.
It was fine. We got along, well after that. It's the good thing about Sin. No one holds a grudge. But then I was on the board. And
it's like student politics light.
Well, but yeah. Right. and there was a show called Hyperstation that I did, like a pretentiously named after a Sonic Youth B-side or something, that with my friend Matt Joyce, that probably it's not worth going into, but we just did a lot of graveyards and got regularly interrupted by vacuum cleaners in the studio at 4 a.m. that would come in. I mean, they needed to vacuum, and we weren't going to disabuse the cleaners of that of that job, and they came in and did that. So yes, that's basically how I got involved.
So your time on the board, Crookie, I remember fondly. You were always a really great advocate and person who input a lot of context for Sin's place in the media landscape. So you ended up being a journo yourself, didn't you, post-study and post-Sin broadcasting? Is that you end up at, was it Crikey, and where else did you land?
Yeah, I was at Crikey, and I used to write terrible music reviews for The Vine and The Age at one point. And, I just, before I go into that though, I just want to let you know that Craig Twitt has just texted me to say that voting system was called non-exhaustive proportional representation with affirmative action.
Yeah.
It's good
Which,
to have that.
Anyway, so
Craig
that,
checked. Craig, yes. Another former station manager and founding contributor to Sin. I remember Craig always had the connection with the returning officer. Was it Barf?
Yes, yeah.
And suddenly, like, the AGM would be upon us, and suddenly, somehow Craig had sorted out the returning officer, and we were, just compliant somehow at the last minute. So thank you, Craig and Barf, for that.
Since AGMs were always the most subscribed AGMs, they remain the most subscribed AGMs that I've ever been to ever. Young people loved an AGM at Sin. Governance, good governance. There's nothing like it.
Good governance. And the other thing, that Sin loved was a strategic planning retreat. And I remember, they would always start with somebody like Bryce Ives writing up the glads, mads, and sads on butcher paper. And then we would fashion strategic plan out of the glads, mads, and sads. And then, of course, the sads would not make it on, and maybe the mads would make it on. But, of course, it was more than, these weekends were obviously a social bonding session in addition to, you know, the hard work of strategic planning, that the strategic plans would probably come together a little bit later on after the weekend itself. But I remember having some productive sessions and productive social events.
Delving
as well,
into the,
up in the hills, if I, normally.
Delving into the historicity, Crookie, right? That was, that was your advocate.
There's a classic photo of me. I think I'm like sort of like lying on the ground with a piece of chalk or some butcher paper, and I've just written the word historicity, and I actually don't no idea what that means. It's probably something like corporate knowledge. It probably just means history, you know. But because I was trying to sort of convey authority as a board member, you know, I wanted to complicate things, and everyone looked very puzzled. I was sort of like, what's he doing? What's he talking about? But anyway, that became a bit of a running joke.
It did. Crookie, I still remember it.
What would you say the impact was on your life, having been part of SYN? It's a big question.
It made me a bit more serious about, you know, I mean, when you're writing a grant application, you don't want to screw it up, you know. You want to actually make it a good application. Joe sort of hit the nail on the head, Joe with the E, who was on previously, hit the nail on the head around actually forcing you to get a bit serious about these kind of things. And, you know, I think it was, I think when you're in journalism, you know, it's all about stories and the next story and a lot of hyperbole and, you know, crazy stuff that happens in journalism. And actually being on the board sort of brings you down to earth a bit and say, okay, well, what are we doing here? And how do we, you know, keep this place afloat? And, you know, I think that has held sway. I remember applying for a job later on and, you know, I thought my resume was pretty good, and sort of down the bottom I put something like, has experience writing grant applications for federal and state government. And the person after I got the job was like, oh, that was the best part of the resume, Crookie. I was like, really? Okay. Mm. I buried that way down there. But, you know, it's like, you know, people need to have real skills. And so I think that sort of helped with that.
Well,
helped
that's
me
right.
get a bit serious.
That's right, isn't it? When you're at SYN, you do a little bit of everything and most often a lot of everything. And you come out with just this suite of skills that I think most people don't get that opportunity. It's actually a very rare thing to be able to just even though you were voted on to the board in what sounds like a very competitive, exhaustive process, you know, you were trusted essentially to run an organisation, to run a legal entity. And with that comes, you know, you're learning as you go, I suppose, of what can and can't work and what you should and shouldn't do. And you take that with you then wherever you go.
I tell you what, this discussion actually reminds me of a bit. It's like another board meeting. It's kind of like, you know, it's a lively board meeting, you know, it's good. It's sort of my last ever SYN board meeting conducted remotely.
So, yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't have known how to do remote board meetings back in the day.
We would have worked it out.
Yeah. Crookie, we'll have you back on in the 40-year anniversary show. Don't worry. We'll do it all over again.
I will be back. And
it's so nice to hear from you.
I was in Connecticut at the time, and I can come into the studio and talk to everybody.
How many of our SYN alumni are in the US now? I presume you run into them all the time over there, no doubt, but there's a couple, right?
Look, there's a few globetrotters. I mean, the aforementioned Craig sometimes is in DC, and you know, I was living in DC for a while, and I'd meet up with him to talk about his global plans. And I'm pretty sure Tess Lawley lives in Toronto.
She's about to join us on the show. Yeah. That's a lovely segue. So to her joining us soon.
Great. Well, Tess is great, and I haven't seen her, but I'm sure we will catch up in New York or something like that. So it's been a great show. I'm sort of a little bit emotional, I have to say, guys.
Oh, it's so nice to chat to you, Crookie, and thank you for your contribution to SYN over all that time, and a great advocate in all your circles, like all the board members and contributors were. That advocacy and that continued championing of SYN was a big part of our jobs as managers and board members, and just always backing it in and finding those opportunities and connections and grants and ideas. It's all part of the foundations of this great place. It's still broadcasting, unless we break things in the next hour.
My pleasure. Yeah.
There's still time.
And completely rare. I mean, you have to say, in Connecticut, there is no community radio, really. Mm. I mean, it is seen as an absolute outlier and needs to be protected. So that's the last thing I'll say.
Coming of age, celebrating 20 years of sin.